together, labor together. This is God's work. I know it is. And I know the Lord is leading us in it. And I praise Him for putting me in it. Now let us turn in our Bibles to the 7th chapter of Romans. Romans, the 7th chapter. Now, in case if any of you are interested, this 7th chapter here has to do with the believer. It's the story of a believer. It doesn't speak of an unsaved individual, but it speaks of the struggles, the warfare of a believer, those who know the Lord, those who have had, who have two natures. Do you have two natures within you? If you're saved, you have two natures. You got the old Adamic nature, the fallen nature, the depraved nature, and then you have the nature of God, which is holy and perfect and sinless. And that's the nature that God deals with the believer in and through and causes the believer to rejoice, to praise the Lord for such love that has been reckoned unto him. But let us read in this 7th chapter. Let's see how many verses it is. 25 verses. Should we read through it? I think it'll do us good. To review it, when was the last time you read this chapter, believer? When was the last time that you were aware that you have two natures in you? Well, these are some of the struggles and warfare that you will experience as a believer. And maybe tonight I can help you a little bit from the Word of God. You may ask the question, you'll be wondering whether you're lost or saved. Or whether you're saved or not. You know, it's just the Word of God assures you of that. It'll verify everything if you want to know it. Now, Paul's speaking here about the believer. In that first verse of the 7th chapter, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman who hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, now you get this, before we were saved as unsaved individuals, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful impulses which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Works of unrighteousness. But now we are delivered from the law, and that's why I say that salvation is a deliverance from the powers of Satan unto the power of God. It is a deliverance from the power of sin, dominion of sin, unto the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what it says here. When we were in the flesh, the sinful impulses which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law. Now listen, that being dead in which we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Now what's the law for? The law is there to show the sinner their transgressions. To show you your transgression. The law is like a mirror. As you go before it in the morning, you get ready to shave and clean up, you look in that mirror and you see the type of an individual you are. Well, the law, God's holy law, is for the purpose of showing a sinner. He makes that sinner look into that law. And just like you look into your mirror, and he lets you see the type of a sinner you are. That's what the law. And what is the law used for? The law, as Paul speaks of in Galatians, is a schoolmaster that brings you to Christ, that leads you to Christ. The law serves its purpose. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's holy, it's just, it's perfect. Paul said, I wouldn't have known sin except by the law. I wouldn't have known I was a transgressor except by the law, and neither would you. So therefore, no, I had not known sin but by the law. Look at that seventh verse again. For I had not known coveting or covetousness except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of coveting, or you might say concupiscence, which means coveting, and in this case here. For apart from the law, sin is dead. For I was alive, and this is Paul speaking here, now you listen to it, apart from the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Now, every sinner, whoever gets saved, comes to see their sins, come to know their sins, as God reflects it, the law upon your heart and your life, and you see that you're a transgressor. You might have thought that you were all right all your life. And that's what the average individual thinks today. They're all right. They don't hurt anybody. They don't bother anyone. And they just go along in their merry way, thinking everything is all right. I'm a good guy, you see. And so Paul did too. And he was a religious individual. He said, I would have never known about covetousness except for the sin when the law came and showed me that it was sin. So therefore, now let's go a little further. So he said now, for I was alive apart from the law once, in that ninth verse, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and every individual outside of Christ is deceived by sin. You stay deceived until the commandments come, until the Holy Spirit comes. You'll stay deceived. It deceived me, and by it it slew me. Now, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not understand. Now, in your reading there, It says, "For that which I do, I would not do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I do." Now, that shouldn't mix you up, because I can explain it just a bit better. I mean, not better, but just to paraphrase that a little bit. Now, those things that I long to do, I want to do, I find that it's hard for me to do it. I cannot understand it without the Holy Spirit showing me and teaching me and give me strength to do those things. But many things I do, things that I don't care to do. I don't want to do, because I know it's sin. In other words, I want to do that only what pleases the Lord. And only as God gives me grace to do it, I'll do it. So I see in my members, in myself, a law right there. The law of sin that worketh in you and I. And those who do not have the new nature, those who do not know Christ, will go right along doing those things after the flesh. Sin. It'll have no biting as far as they're concerned. And as far as they're concerned, they're doing what the natural thing for them to do. Go on sinning. And not knowing that they're being deceived by the very same things they do. Sin. But the individual who knows the Lord, he's seeking that which would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seeking that will add strength to his doings, doing God's will, and carrying out God's purpose. Now let's go on. All right, now 16th verse. Now, if then I do that which I would not, if I do those things that I don't want to do, and I just don't care to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, it is no more I that do it, but what does it? Sin that dwelleth in us. And it will be sin from now till the time we die. There will be sin in the born-again believer. There will be sin there. But as the Apostle Paul, as we yield to the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we will fulfill that which is holy and gives God the glory, that which is spiritual. For I know, now listen, this is one thing every believer knows. Now you listen to this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In the natural man, in the flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Now, there's nothing that God could have done with that flesh, but just leave it there and just give you a new nature to serve Him. He left us with that old nature. There's a purpose there. It humbles us. It just humbles us. And that's what it's there for, to humble us and break us. All right. Now, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. In other words, the apostle is reasoning this way. The good that I'm seeking to do, it seems like it's hard for me to do it. And I cannot understand all of its ways. It's ins and outs. That's what I want to do. But the evil which I would not that I do. And how easy it is for us to do things contrary to the law of God. But listen. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And isn't that true? Here I'm up here, preaching the word, as the Holy Spirit's leading me. But at the same time, you'd be surprised, there's evil within me. There's evil within us as we pray together. Many times our minds might be beclouded in our prayers by evil thoughts and things like that might come across our hearts and minds. That is sin in there, working in us. That's sin. Sin. We're nothing but a bunch of sinners. That's all we are. But for the grace of God, we'd all plunge into hell. There wouldn't be nobody saved but for the grace of God. And just think, the warfare that the believer has with sin in his body, in his mind, and that he wrestles with. Just think about the individual who has nothing, no overcoming grace, nothing to overcome grace with, no salvation. Just think about that individual who knows nothing but just sin and loving it and running after it and can't get enough of it. But the believer hates to learn, learns to hate sin and to do good. All right, he says in there, I see the 23rd verse. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, this is the Apostle Paul crying this. And the Apostle Paul was a saved man. And listen, many times I cry it. When I see sin sometimes working up in my heart and life, and where it seems many times I'm chastised by it, I'm brought low by it in the dust, working in me, sin. I'm made to cry like the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? But on the other hand, the 25th verse, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, that's just, you might say, a preference to our message. But we're going to deal tonight with the 7th of Romans, the 22nd verse, and maybe 22nd through 25th. Now, you listen. God has a message here for our hearts tonight. I hope you learned something. Let us begin with the believer. A believer, a truly born-again Christian, delights in God's law after the inward man. That new nature that God gives sinners in salvation, that's the nature that the believer, he loves, he delights in the law of God after the inward man. Now, we hear of Christ within us, the hope of glory. And that's true. He's our salvation. And there's the new nature he gives us, a new heart in salvation. It delights after the law of God. Oh, he delights to do the will of God, to serve the Lord, and after the inward man. Now, listen, the believer is to be known not only by his peace and his joy and how God gives us peace and gives us joy, but listen, and that comes in salvation when God delivers you, and you'll never get through rejoicing and praising the Lord for saving you. There's joy in there. As the Apostle Paul Peter says, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and a believer ought to be the happiest individual around. He ought to be the most joyful individual around, because that individual has something that everyone doesn't receive and many does not want. And just to think, there was a day I didn't want it. I didn't care for it. But it wasn't until the Lord gave me that want to in my heart and gave me His salvation. But listen, but also by His warfare, now we're to recognize the believer, he's known by his warfare and distress. Now, I can understand a believer's going through battles, trials, and the only one that can help them is to turn to the Lord and take time out to seek the Lord and to find assurance and comforts in the Word of God. But that takes place in every heart and life. Many times, I'm going through some mighty tough warfare sometimes. But I know where to turn to, where to go to. Who can I go to? I can go to the source. From whence cometh my help and my salvation, and that's the Lord. Where am I going to go? Am I going to run to man? Am I going to keep on picking up a telephone and ring and try to bother everybody with my cares and everything else? I'm going to go to the Lord. Now, He doesn't mind being bothered. He never slumbers or sleeps. We need our sleep. We need our slumber. But there's one in heaven. He never slumbers or sleeps. And He's forever listening to the cry of His child, the one who has redeemed Him by His own precious blood. Sure, we're going through some mighty tough warfares, but praise the Lord, the victory is the Lord's. We are more than conquerors through Christ, who loves us. He gave Himself for us. And brother, I'm a conqueror tonight because of Christ. I'm an overcoming one because of Christ. Nothing of me. I'm nothing. I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God, but I have a great Savior. Now, can you say that? Oh, I would that you could. Now, in order for you to get to heaven, you're going to have a great Savior. Now, listen. The believer's peace flows from Christ. His warfare is just as peculiar. Now, there is an agonizing struggle with the old nature. This continues till death. I'll give you this picture. Paul said, now you listen carefully, believer. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? And Paul gets that picture from a Roman prison. When there was a prison, a prisoner, they'd put two prisoners together for life in this dungeon or prison. And when one died and the other was living, they were chained together. The living one would drag that dead body everywhere he'd go. That was his punishment. Until the remains actually fall off of him. And he gets that picture of a believer of himself that's dragging that old man everywhere around with him in this life. And one day at death, it's going to drop off of him. And then we'll go on to be with the Lord. And that's that old man, that old sinner that we have to live next to all of our life until death doth us part. And brother, that'd be one time when I'll be rejoicing and praise the Lord forevermore for dropping off that old body, that old neighbor that I carried around with me all my life. And it's not going to get any better. That old sinner is going to get worse until we're separated from it. It goes back to dust, but that new man that you have within you, that new nature, which is Christ's nature, God's nature, will go and live with Him. And He's going to give that soul a body, a new body that we'll have throughout eternity. And we'll be glad to have that. And praise the Lord. I have a blessed hope. I would that you knew Christ. I would that every one of us in this house today would be able to say like the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death?" But in the next breath he says, "I praise the Lord." We have the victory through who? Jesus Christ. That's where your victory is, believer. In Christ. And therefore, don't let it bother you. You're going to be bothered by it. There's a warfare. There's a struggle going on. Oh, evil thoughts, lustful thoughts, all types of thoughts. That's the sin there. God didn't eradicate it. It's still there. And these people who go around saying, "I can live above sin, and I don't sin, and this and that," they're a bunch of liars. They're just not saved. That's all. And you might say, "How can I know whether I'm saved or not? Whether I'm truly fighting the good fight of faith?" Now listen to this. No unsaved individual would say, "It is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me." Now no unsaved individual could pray such a prayer or can make such a statement. They never will. I never did it. Now, I couldn't blame it on my sin nature. But listen, whether I'm... "It is no more that doeth but sin which dwelleth in me." Now, why is that? An unsaved individual has one nature. One nature. If you're not saved tonight, you have one nature. And you know nothing about a warfare. You know nothing about victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know nothing about Him as your Savior. Because the individual has one nature, is taken up with me, my, and mine. He doesn't mind sin. He doesn't mind going out drinking and gambling and reveling and cutting up and filling himself with the world and everything. He doesn't mind that at all. To him, that's not sin. Sin? I don't see any sin in that. They have one nature. And that's the Adamic nature that knows nothing but sin. It can do nothing but sin. It cannot work any works of righteousness. It has no overcoming grace within him. Has no life. He's dead. He's dead unto spiritual matters, spiritual truths. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And that word enmity means he hates God. The old nature can do nothing but hate God. The natural man understandeth not the things of God. Because why? These things are spiritual. They're written for spiritual minds and spiritual hearts. An unsaved individual has one nature, and he can only live in the flesh. Only born-again believers hate evil. Psalms 97:10 tells us that he hates every false way. Every false way. We don't hate the individual. We hate every false way. But of the wicked, David said, "He abhorreth not evil." He loves evil. And that's natural. Before God ever saved me, I loved sin. I loved to go around and run around. And I did just the natural things that only the natural flesh can do. That's all. But where they got that warfare in there, and then on the one hand, there's the warfare of the believer. There's the warfare of the believer going on all the time in that life. Oh, how he hates sin. How he hates to do evil. how he abhors evil, and he longs to do that which is good. His desire is that he may do that which pleases his Lord, walk in the way of holiness. Oh, and there he is. He's bothered with sin on every hand. But there he is. There's that strength in that new nature. And there's the overcoming strength, the overcoming of the new against the old. But the individual who doesn't know anything about that, he knows nothing about grace. Grace, overcoming grace, believing grace. An unregenerated man resists the law that he may justify himself. He resists God's law, God's word. He can't see anything there. He resists it. That he may justify himself. I know I had peculiar situations at my job in trying to show individuals from God's word where they were wrong in their actions and what they're doing. And I quote the scriptures, and I say, "Oh, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Nothing wrong with what I'm doing. If I want to drink, I'll drink. If I want to run around with women, I'll run around with women. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in that. That's what you say. That's what that says. How do you know that's the word of God? You see, they try all the time to justify themselves. To justify themselves." It's just like that Pharisee and that publican at the temple. That Pharisee went in there. He was just as proud individual. He went to church, just like some of you are going to church tonight. And like they've been going to church all day to come in and justify themselves. Well, now, I'm not like that poor publican over there. Look at him. I'm not like him. I tithe. I pray. I give to the poor, I do this, and I do that, you see. That's the fellow who tries to justify himself. But that poor publican, he couldn't say none of that. He didn't do nothing. But the only thing he could say was, "Oh, be merciful unto me, for I am the sinner." That's all he could say. And the Lord says, that man went away justified. That sinner, that publican went away justified. This person here, this Pharisee, he went away just like he came in. God didn't bless him. You see? A man who has been regenerated consents to the law as being good and bows to its findings, whether he understands it or not. He doesn't argue with the Bible, but he subjects himself unto it. Bows to God's word, doesn't find anything wrong with it, and there's many things I did not understand about God's laws here after God saved me, but I never argued with it, I never tried to find fault with it, I never just left it just like it was, and I trusted the Lord in time he would show me those things that I didn't quite understand, and never argue with the word of God. And you know, we know it's good. We know the law of God is good. And we bow to its findings. Now, a believer delights in the law of God after the inward man, as you'll find in verse 22. Before a sinner comes to Christ, he hates the law of God. Now, why? Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The reason the carnal mind hates the law of God is because of its purity. The word of God is pure. The believer loves the law of God and can say with the psalmist, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. You know, we love pure things, things that are pure. The believer, oh, give me a clean heart that I may serve thee. Give me a clean heart. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. That's Psalms 119, 140. Therefore the unregenerate man cannot delight himself in the law of God after the inward man. That's why the Bible is a closed book to the natural man. But the one who's been regenerated by God's Holy Spirit, one who experienced a new birth, who knows Christ, he loves the Word of God. The Word of God is precious. It's our feeding ground. There's no new. Therefore, the unregenerate man cannot delight himself in the law of God after the inward man. There's no new nature there. There's no new heart there. That's the reason why God has to give to a sinner a new nature and a new heart. Oh, how many have said, I've cried to the Lord to give me a new nature? Well, if you cry to the Lord to give you a new nature, you possibly have that new nature. If you're crying for a new heart, you have that new heart. Because it's only the heart that gives you the cry after God. You ever stop to think about that? You think the natural man will cry after God? No. The natural man hates God. It's the individual that God gives a new heart and a new nature to that cries unto the Lord. You ever stop to think about that? What's your desires after the Lord? You see, he's giving you a new nature there and a new heart to seek him. Otherwise, you'd never be able to find him. The natural man cannot find God. In first place, they wouldn't even seek after God because they hate God. They love sin, they love evil, and they detest the Word of God. God has to give you a new nature and a new heart to even come to love the Word of God. So there's a testing point right there. There's no new nature in the man that's after the flesh. The unregenerated man cannot see himself as a child of wrath. Every one of us are children of wrath. We are. By nature, every one of us are children of wrath. Everyone is under the judgment curse of God, under condemnation. It's only through the new birth. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit, through grace in the heart of the sinner, that delivers that individual out from under the wrath of God and puts him under the mercy and the grace of God, gives you a new nature, something that you can praise the Lord with. Otherwise, you'll never praise him. By nature, all men are children of wrath, alienated from the life of God. The unsaved individual hates God, which his very nature cannot help but do. There is no love in his heart for God. Now look in your heart tonight. Is there any love in your heart for God? Is there any love in your heart for God? Now, if you're saved, there's love in your heart for God. It's a natural love. It's not a love that you built up yourself in there and you developed yourself. It's a natural love. It's just as natural for me to love my Lord as it was for me to love sin. And no wonder the Apostle John said, we love him because he first loved me. Now, do you know that? Do you know the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? And can you say, my Lord, I loved you tonight because you first loved me? Now, what is telling? Now, what's carrying on that conversation between you and the Lord? It's that new nature and that new heart he gives you within. I can say I love him because I do love him. I'd be a liar if I said I didn't love him. If I didn't love the Lord tonight, I'd be saying, well, I'm not saved. Now, every saved individual tonight loves the Lord. It's just like that individual that has that new nature within him. That new nature cannot sin. They that sin are of the devil. And he's talking about the natural man there. They that do not sin are of the Lord. Because they have a nature within them that cannot sin. Now, can you understand that? That's God's nature. It's a perfect nature. That's why I can say tonight, I'm perfect. I am perfect in Christ. Because He had fulfilled the perfection of the law for me. And therefore, I'm perfect. Not myself now, don't get me wrong. Not myself, but in Christ, my substitute. God looks upon me, justified by His blood. He looks upon me as if I have never sinned. Now, is that a surprise to you? Or does that cause you to prick up and say, you know, that's so? That's the way I live. You know, God looks upon me. He looks at me. In Christ Jesus, my substitute. And He was perfect. And therefore, because He was perfect and sinless and spotless, and I am His child, I'm a joint heir with Christ, and therefore, I'm perfect in Him. And He looks upon me as if I have never sinned because I'm in Christ. And brother, I believe that tonight. And no man's going to take that away from me. Because that's been written across my heart. And if that doesn't give you cause to rejoice and to be happy and to praise the Lord, there's something wrong somewhere. I can walk through this life. I don't have to hang my head down low with a long face and everything else. I'm not showing the glory of my Lord. I'm not showing the grace of my God. I'm rejoicing in my salvation. I'm praising the Lord for saving such a rebel, such a sinner like me, and giving me that perfect standing in Christ. Oh, let me shout that. Let me just shout that. Brother, I don't have nothing to hang my head and apologize to no individual. I don't care who he is. I know whom I have believed. And every sinner who ever gets saved will be able to say, I know whom I have believed. I have not only believed on Christ, but I know whom I have believed. And brother, that's greater than just an experience or a feeling. Don't you rest on anything like that. You rest upon Christ, the foundation that'll hold. It'll never sink. It'll never give way. Let the flesh come. Let Satan come. Let the world come. Let everything come. But brother, I'm on a solid foundation. And there's nothing that can separate me from it. Because of the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that grace? And all because of John 3:16, God so loved the world, a world of sinners. He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And brother, I have everlasting life tonight. And I'm going to live. Not only here, but live throughout eternity, praising my Lord and my God. Yes, the natural man loves sin. He opposes the law of God. He hates the Word of God. Because why? The commandments of God are exceeding broad. Now, what do we mean by that? We find that the law of God extends to all of man's outward actions. It covers every bit of them, whether seen or unseen. They may think they're getting away with a whole lot, but God sees them. And then it extends to every idle word that man shall speak. And do you know every idle word shall condemn you in the day of judgment unless you come to Christ? You ever know that? Every idle word that man speaks, unless they're under the blood, unless they know Christ, is going to be charged against you in the day of judgment. Oh, you had better turn to the Lord. What an awful day it will be. It condemns the most secret sin and lust that nestles in the heart. And because of its strictness, men will argue and quarrel with the law of God. That is the reason ungodly men rise up against the word of God and those that proclaim it without compromise. That's the reason why they hate the gospel. They love their sins. And that's the reason why they don't want it. They don't want this man to rule over them because they love their sins and not realizing it's their sins that condemns them. I'd rather have this man to rule over me than to face my sins in the day of judgment. And then, where will I be then? Unregenerated man hates the word of God for its unchangeableness. We're closing now. Listen. Now we read in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's what the Lord says. The word of God is unchangeable as God Himself. And you cannot change God. And the word of God is unchangeable. It will not change. I don't care how many times they'll try to revise and paraphrase the scriptures to make them mean other things, but they still mean the same. And the word of God is just unchangeable as God Himself. And you can't change God. It's the sinner that has to change. You ever stop to think about that? It's the sinner. You're not going to change God. It's the sinner that has to change your thoughts, your actions, your motives, your desires, your want-tos. They've got to change. You are not going to change God. Before you ever get saved, you're going to be there's going to be a want-to and desire after the word of God, and you want to feed upon that which gives you life. Oh, where can I find him? Where can I find him? Tell me, where is he? Where is my beloved? Where is the one that I long after and I want? There's your want to is fixed. You're changing. God's not changing, but he's changing you. Yes, the word of God is unchangeable as God himself. And James 1:17 says, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. That's how great our God is. That's how great my God is. So, sinner, you must change. In other words, the law of God cannot change unless God changes it. And God's never going to change it. It is an unchangeable law, for He is an unchangeable God. Men resent it, and ungodly sinners' hatred for it remains unchanged. So you see, that shows you right there. Man's hatred has never changed for the Word of God. And that's the reason why God's got to give every sinner a new heart and a new nature before he saves him. But that's grace. That's grace. I didn't want God. I didn't want his salvation. But now, as I'm gone on 20 years,
And I wouldn't exchange what I have tonight for anything this world has to offer. I've got the greatest treasure within me that any sinner, any poor sinner, could ever have. And that's my Lord, salvation in Christ. And I've changed quite a bit, but He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change every day. I sin, but He forgives me. He understands those things. But I'm His. All of this hatred ceases when God saves you. In Christ, you delight in the law of God after the inward man, because you have the nature of God within you. And you can say with David, "Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." That doesn't mean I'm reading the scriptures all the time. Now, next week we might go some more than that. I've got some which will show us that in meditating upon the Word of God. Now, when I was on my job with the Times-Picayune, I meditated on my Lord when I was sitting down there doing my work. I would be at times I'd stop and meditate and just thank Him and just praise Him. And tears would come in my eyes and my heart. They may not understand it, but I'd be thanking Him and meditating upon those scriptures that He's written on my mind, in my heart. And every one of God's children, the Holy Spirit writes the law of God upon their heart and in their minds. That's where your meditation is. I can go in my bed at night on my pillows, and I can rest there. And the Holy Spirit will rest my mind and give me some portion of His Word. And sometime we'll be there for hours just thinking and just meditating upon the Word of God. I don't have to always be with the book in my hands, but it's stored here by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, in my heart. And that's what makes salvation so wonderful. I've got something to work with. I've got something to live with. I've got meditation upon my Lord. Now, in closing, yes, we could say with David, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." It is the delight of a child of God to say, as our Lord said Himself in Psalms 48, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Now, that's the reason why you delight to do His will. He has written His law in your heart and in your mind. And you'll never forget them. Oh, that's why we say it's good for parents to teach their young ones the Holy Scriptures at their early age. That the Holy Spirit, you see, this is the Word of God. You'll never go wrong. The Word of God, it'll write, the Holy Spirit will take these scriptures, these little things in here, and reveal them to those children's heart, write them down here, and about years later on, they'll be able to tell you some of the things that they've learned. They can quote to you some things that they've learned in their Sunday school and that have developed, and give them a desire to want to be saved, to want to know Christ. Because I'm concerned about our young people. I'm concerned about our Sunday school classes. How we're teaching those young'uns in the class from the Word of God. It may seem at times you might not be getting anywhere, but that's not up to us to suppose or presuppose. But it's for us to do. In season, out of season. Whether we feel all right or we don't feel all right. Whether we think things are... maybe my times might get discouraged, might go in our class discouraged. That doesn't matter. In season, out of season. Teach the Word of God. Because it is a living Word. It reveals a living Christ. It gives light. It lights up the heart of sinners. We're glad you came tonight. And I believe the Lord has given us a special day today in all the services. And I'm encouraged. I am greatly encouraged. Let us walk with the Lord. He says, if you will not deny me, I'll not deny you. But if you deny me, I'm going to not deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. I have no more to say. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know how to tell sinners how to be saved. I can only preach the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do His work in your heart to assure you whether you're in Christ or not. And then to put a longing in your heart if you want to know Christ, that you might find Him. But I know when you'll find Him is when you seek Him with all your heart. I know that's when you're going to find Him. When you seek for Him with all your heart. And may the Lord grant you that grace to seek Christ and His righteousness. That's the first thing. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. Let's stand. Be with us again Wednesday night at 7:45. For the Voice of Truth tape, and then for the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank Thee tonight for Thy grace. We find that is sufficient. We praise Thee. We thank You for salvation in Christ. And we thank You that we can bring others to You here tonight. Who do not know You, those out in radio land, as they hear this tape, our blessed Lord, Thou art so good, so merciful, so faithful unto Thy people and unto sinners. We pray Thy blessings upon the message. Use it for Your glory, to the salvation of sinners, to the strengthening of the saints, and for the glory of our Lord. Guide us and keep us tonight. Bless the services and sought us. And throughout this week, give us grace and strength. And we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory for Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.